From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you have joined us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series in the Law of God as he brings another portion of a message called The Full Force of the Ten Commandments. In Matthew 5, verses 17 through 48, the Lord Jesus Christ revealed that the Ten Commandments have much deeper implications than simply thou shalt or thou shalt not. Those ten words reflect the very nature and character of God, and they reveal what God expects men, His creation, to be. It is the heart about which God is chiefly concerned, for as Christ taught, it is out of the heart that actions proceed. As Dr. Cairns will show, the law is not only the rule for our obedience, it is the reason for our obedience. The chief motive for our obedience is to be the glory of God. That was true even of Christ. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, please listen to this brief devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's text is found in Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 1. Joshua the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. In Joshua the high priest, we see a picture of each and every child of God who has been made nigh by the blood of Christ, and has been taught to minister in holy things, and to enter into that which is within the veil. Jesus has made us priests and kings unto God, and even here upon earth we exercise the priesthood of consecrated living and hallowed service. But this high priest is said to be standing before the angel of the Lord, that is, standing to minister. This should be the perpetual position of every true believer. Every place is now God's temple, and His people can as truly serve Him in their daily employments as in His house. They are to be always ministering, offering the spiritual sacrifice of prayer and praise, and presenting themselves as a living sacrifice. But notice where it is that Joshua stands to minister. It is before the angel of Jehovah. It is only through a mediator that we poor defiled ones can ever become priests unto God. I present what I have before the messenger, the angel of the covenant, the Lord Jesus, and through Him my prayers find acceptance wrapped up in His prayers. My praises become sweet as they are bound up with bundles of myrrh and aloes and cassia from Christ's own garden. If I can bring Him nothing but my tears, He will put them with His own tears in His own bottle, for He once wept. If I can bring Him nothing but my groans and sighs, He will accept these as an acceptable sacrifice, for He once was broken in heart and sighed heavily in spirit. I myself, standing in Him, am accepted in the Beloved, and all my polluted works, though in themselves only objects of divine abhorrence, are so received that God smelleth a sweet savor. He is content, and I am blessed. See then the position of the Christian, a priest, standing before the angel of the Lord.
To Christ and marvel at the cross.
From time to time, here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
Thank you. Now, it's not that the Lord Jesus was changing the law of Moses. I remember speaking to a Mormon many years ago, and he said, well, you would accept, wouldn't you, that in Matthew 5, Jesus was giving a higher standard than the Old Testament standard of morality. That he took that standard and then he raised it up for New Testament believers. Of course, that's nonsense. That's not what he was doing. What the Lord Jesus was doing was taking the law of Moses, setting it before the people, then throwing away the Pharisaical interpretation of the law and saying, this is what Moses' law really means. This is the true scope of the law. The psalmist, you will remember, once said of the Lord, thy commandment is exceeding broad. And in Matthew 5, the Lord Jesus shows us just how broad. You can read here and discover that every commandment has a positive and a negative part to it. When the commandment sets forth a precept, then it implies a prohibition. When it sets forth a prohibition, it implies a precept. When you look at what Jesus said, it's very clear that each sin prohibited and every virtue commanded not only has the surface meaning, but it also includes all actions of the same kind and nature, together with all the means that lead us to those actions. Let me explain. Thou shalt not kill, or as Moses also puts it, thou shalt do no murder. We can understand. Murder is the illegal depriving of a person of his life. Thou shalt do no murder. But the Lord Jesus says there are related breaches of that commandment. There are people who have never stuck a knife in anybody's back. They have never blown away anybody's brains. They have never put the poison cup to anybody's lips. But yet, they have been guilty of the same crime. Because God's commandment, thou shalt not kill, takes in things of the same nature. And he includes causeless rage and wrath. How often have you been in such a rage that if you could have killed and got away with it, you would have done it? Jesus puts that under the crime of murder. How often people harbor in their heart a hatred. It may be based on race or color or culture. That's one of the buzzwords in America in the 20th century. Culture is the cover for most of the iniquity that goes on today. Culture. I don't want to get off on that tangent, otherwise we'll never get back to the subject. How often that is the cause of hatred, or envy, or jealousy, or spite, or some other malice. The Word of God says that when you hate, you kill. How often Jesus touches on this very clearly in Matthew 5. People do not indulge a lust, but they fantasize that lust. Jesus says that is as morally filthy. Now, don't misunderstand him. He is not saying that in its results on earth, it is equal to the act. Obviously, if you only think of killing someone, he's still alive. If you actually kill him, he's dead. But in its moral corruption before God, All these things of the same nature come under his condemnation. And thus the Lord Jesus says, cut off all the means of the instruments of sin. Now we can take this as being a figure of speech. If your right eye offends, you pluck it out. If your right hand offends, you cut it off. What he means is, if your eyes are what cause you to lust, you'd be better to be physically blind than go to hell. If your hands are what cause you to offend, you'd be better to be without hands than to have hands and go to hell. This is one of those times when the Savior is deliberately using a figure of speech that he knows will be offensive to those who hear him. It will jolt their minds and their consciences, because you can pluck out your eyes and your mind will still see the objects of his lust. You can cut off your hand and your body will still find ways to pursue its sin. But what the Savior is saying is this: you take the things that cause you to sin. You deal not only with the end result. That's what men so often want to do. They want to deal only with the end result. Jesus says, no, you must deal with the things that lead to that result. That's the spirituality of God's law. In this way, you can see that the Ten Commandments not only regulate outward behavior, but they reach to the heart and they bind all the powers of your soul to complete obedience to God's law in word, in thought, and in deed. The Ten Commandments do not simply allow you to wrap yourself up in a cloak of self-righteousness with a heart that's far from God. They go right to the depths of your being and they command a complete, utter, and total obedience from the entire powers of your soul. The Ten Commandments command your understanding to know the will of God. They command your memory to retain that knowledge and meditate upon it. They command your will to choose the will of God, and they command your affections to love the will of God. This is more than just conforming to an outward standard. And then they go even further. The law of these commandments is not only the rule for our obedience, but they demand that they also be the reason for our obedience. In other words, that we obey the law of God by faith in him and out of love for him, not merely to make life a little easier, to make society a little cleaner. No, no, they will do that. The Ten Commandments, kept even in a relative form, will be good for any nation and any people. But the law demands that we obey God out of faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And if we don't have that as the reason for our obedience, then our very righteousnesses will be as filthy rags. And furthermore, the law demands that your obedience have as its great aim and object the glory of God. The Lord Jesus showed by his obedience that this is the motive of all true submission. I have glorified thee. What's the summary of true obedience? I have glorified God. What is a successful life? I have glorified God. What is it that the Bible demands of you? That you be able to say of this day, of this week, of this life, I have glorified God. That's why God has put us on earth. To glorify him. Even the Son of God himself could find no superior reason for his being on earth than to say, I have glorified thee. That's why Paul said to the Christians in Corinth, whatsoever therefore ye, or whether ye eat or drink, whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. So when we consider the Ten Commandments, we've got to keep in mind the full scope of these statutes and don't hide behind some truncated version of them. Don't do what the Pharisees did. Restrict the meaning and then tell yourself, what a good boy am I, all the time when you're right on the edge of hell. Let me make that clear. So many people sit within a heartbeat of the lake of fire, telling themselves how good they are, how worthy of heaven they are, how impossible of damnation their situation is. But when you face the full force of God's commandments, it's a different story. Now, with that in mind, let me come to the full force and say that these commandments, as God sets them forth, accomplish five very, very important goals. First, they express the holiness of God. They express the holiness of God. The old Puritans used to say that the law is a transcript of the nature of God. In other words, God does not merely say, do this and don't do this by some whim. No, God does not have whims. When God says, thou shalt and thou shalt not, He is giving a law that reveals the very nature of God. And when He sets a standard of holiness, that standard of holiness is a reflection of His own holy being. It's very interesting when you read what God says in the law. God does not accommodate the standard of His law to the powers of fallen man. Now, when He brought Moses up to Mount Sinai, Moses was already a sinner. The whole nation of Israel were already sinners, and they went on to prove it. As Moses was up on the mount, they turned to idolatry. And yet God gave these commandments. Do you notice that the Lord never says, now, fallen man can't perform this, therefore I will not require it. He doesn't say that. John Calvin said, in the commandments of the law, God does not look at what men can do, but at what they ought to do. The law reveals the perfection of God, the holiness of God. It says, there is my standard. There is the mirror in which you can see something of the absolute purity of the divine being. And these Ten Commandments, therefore, are a great corrective to the fatal habit of sinners of casting God in their own image.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.